Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt, slashing your taxes, and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, who met his wife while training for the 400 meters in Seattle and is eating gluten-free whilst lusting after bread, Dave Denniston.
This is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the latest Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, let me ask you a question. What is your worst nightmare? What if you could no longer practice? What if you were tied up in the courts and couldn't treat your patients? Just imagine how crazy scary it would be to be served an order for a malpractice lawsuit. And what's amazing is I learned in a previous podcast with Eileen Brenner, most physicians are simply unprepared for these lawsuits. Most doctors have absolutely no clue what to do before or during a malpractice lawsuit. And so Eileen Brenner, she wrote this book about how to survive malpractice lawsuits. And here are three key things that she suggests that you should do to survive your experience with the courts. The first thing that you should do when you get served is call your lawyer if you have one. And if you don't, call your insurance company so that you can. It would be certainly ideal if a lot of docs had their own malpractice attorney ready to go. For example, maybe your friends or colleagues have someone to recommend. However, if that lawyer is not on the insurance company panel, you may not be able to get to them. So if you're going through this trouble of locating an attorney prior to getting sued, make sure that they are on your insurance company panel. If not, you could always petition your insurance company to add them, but that might not work. Either way, you have to get someone approved by your insurance company. Now, keep in mind here, there are some great privileges in getting an attorney as soon as possible when you get started on your case due to the nature of the attorney-client relationship. Basically, you are allowed to do research for your attorney to help them with some aspects of that case, and that research is privileged. And this is extremely important when we are looking at depositions because the opposing attorney will start to ask you questions. They're going to be probing questions, tough questions, and you don't want to be caught on the wrong side of the fence after having researched your case on your own without having an attorney. Remember, if you don't have a malpractice attorney, the very first thing you should do is call your insurance company. Your insurance company will then get you an attorney. Now, the next thing I want to check out here is there's two horrible mistakes you want to avoid. The biggest mistakes that most doctors try to do is to alter the medical records and research the case themselves before ever contacting an attorney. Now, many physicians, they have great intentions, but it could hurt them way more than it could help. And, of course, the worst mistake any doctor could make is any attempt to alter the medical records in any way. You will get found out, and it's going to make you look really bad when that happens. No matter how good you think you are, there is a paper electronic trail behind you. So remember, be very careful before selecting your attorney and not to do research on your own case. If anything else, for example, you could go to a website, you could pick out a book, you could try and research it. All of these things could harm your case if you don't already have an attorney. So don't do anything about it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk to anybody. Don't ask to pull the medical records. Don't look it online if you can. Don't Google anything. Remember, the first two things you want to do is to call your attorney and call your insurance company. All these other things that we just talked about could get you in trouble because if you've done research, the opposing attorney will ask about it. This will create a whole flood of questions that you don't want to be answering. So all of that can be prevented if you don't go there. Then once you have made that attorney relationship, you can start to look it up and research your case if your attorney is okay with it. So for example, once you have that attorney-client relationship, you could say you were doing research for your attorney and your case. Therefore, it can't be used against you. However, if you do research before contacting your attorney, it will frame you in a bad light. It will appear like the first thing you did was try to find out info about how to protect yourself. All right, the third key here is be careful of an attorney who is not yours. One of Dr. Brenner's physician friends who got served made their very first call to their employer, and they just regretted that decision. So be careful of your employer's attorney. Even if you have the greatest possible relationship with your employer, the fact is that in many ways you could have different goals and different objectives. What can be deceiving is that initially the relationship with your employer may not feel adversarial at all. For example, you may even be co-defendants together in a case, and you can feel like it's you and your employer versus the world. But considering both of you are at risk, and they have the bigger pocket. Therefore, with their attorney, they can have more power. And ultimately, what we find in a lot of cases, the attorney has to make a choice between clients, creating a huge conflict of interest, potentially. They pay more attention to the bigger pockets, that's just the reality, and they will frequently favor the employer over you, especially if your employer is a hospital. Hospitals get sued more than doctors, and they provide more business. Thus, if they're given the choice, there's no doubt the attorney may choose the employer and throw you under the bus. Of course, it's always distinctly possible that your attorney's first action is to get your non-involved employer out of the case. And that could be good, because that way you don't have that big pocket in the case. You don't want a corporation or a faceless entity for jurors to take a look at. You want them to sympathize with a real human being. So the reality is it may be best to get your employer out of your case if that's possible. Dr. Brenner had noted, "I can't even tell you the number of stories where everything was going swimmingly until this one moment when the hospital panicked and they said something on the stand that they weren't supposed to say to protect themselves. Time after time, this screwed the doctor, and the only reason the physician was saved was because they had a separate attorney from the hospital and what they were able to defend themselves." So all of this can be very complicated, but the best scenario is have your own attorney. Well, let's wrap this up with a few final thoughts. Physicians, they are just overwhelmed with so many responsibilities. Between seeing patients, running a practice, it can seem like you barely have any time for your family, let alone other responsibilities. Adding some time to find a malpractice attorney before you ever have a case may seem backward, but it's always better to be prepared rather than sorry. And make sure they are on your insurance company panel. Remember these three keys to surviving your malpractice lawsuit. Contact your attorney immediately after you are served. Don't research your own case until you've talked to your attorney. And number three, remember that the employer's attorney has different objectives from you. So apply these same principles and you'll be well on your way to enjoying what you do best. Treating patients, making a difference in the community without worrying about lawsuits. Well, for the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Make sure to subscribe and check in again soon. Have a good one.